Blog Talk Radio.
What up, wrestling world? It's your boy, B-Train, and I got a lot to cover in the next hour and a half. You see, the search for the new co-host, well, let's just say it's ended, maybe not, but it has ended. I have found somebody, and in March, you will hear a new voice on Wrestle Radio, Company B Train, and trust me, this person is pretty knowledgeable, but more about that later. Semantics, I did say I was going to discuss sports with you later on in the year, or earlier on in the year, didn't I? Well, the Eagles are champions, now it's on to the Winter Olympics, and, well, the Winter Olympics are the Winter Olympics. Don't really care. Just being honest, because I've got a lot of wrestling to cover and a lot of wrestling to attend to. One of those things that I have to attend, didn't have to, maybe you should have saved money, but I'm crazy enough, ladies and gentlemen. I am going to WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans. I am also going to WrestleMania 34's NXT TakeOver in New Orleans. It's going to be a crazy, crazy, fun-filled weekend event. I can assure you of that. But first and foremost on the list, NXT is a creation that I will forever love, because ever since its presence has been felt by WWE and by others who pertain to watching WWE, it's the only thing left. I'm going to give you an example. Because of NXT's Velveteen Dream and Sanity and the Undisputed New Era and TM61 and Johnny Wrestling, a.k.a. Johnny Gargano, and Candice Wrestling, could it be that NXT keeps evolving its roster so that people will continue watching? I mean, at one point, NXT had Asuka. At one point, it had Ember Moon. Well, still it does have Ember Moon. And now it has Kairi Sane, Nikki Cross, Lacey Evans. The list goes on and on for NXT's current roster. Shayna Baszler, meh. Don't really care. The point is, NXT's constant evolving through the structure of its roster is mainly has been giving people a new hope. Now, I'm not talking about Star Wars, folks. I'm talking about the evolving of its roster. Instead of it being cookie cutter, you know, people that catch attention, you know, every once in a while, like a Finn Balor or Matt Hardy on main roster, you actually have a roster that people pay attention to. Now, granted, Velveteen Dream's a direct ripoff of Bobby Lashley, or not Bobby Lashley, but a direct ripoff of Orlando Jordan. You could say it. You know, people rip each other off every now and again. But that's the business, right? That's the pro wrestling business. It's also business in general. If you think of an idea, don't say it out loud, because then someone might snatch it. So, Velveteen Dream, Aleister Black, Adam Cole, Baby, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, names like that are grabbing the attention of the common fan. We're just a common fan. I know it's kind of sound like Dusty Rhodes theme there for a minute, but you get what I'm saying? The merchandise sales are up. The ticket sales, I can tell you that from experience of last night buying the package for SummerSlam. Although my ass and a friend will be sitting in Timbuktu and Barclays, NXT is so popular that within days of the release of the tickets to the greatest party in the summer, those tickets to SummerSlam, they ain't selling like hotcakes because we know better. If it's a decent booking, hell, fans will show up to anything, right? If they know that the card looks good, they will show up to your event, which is why NXT evolving its roster every single year and making it different instead of keeping it the same makes it fresh. It makes it new. It makes the product worth watching. Now, am I going to spend the entire time talking about NXT? I think not, because that would be unfair to a gentleman by the name of Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega, the man that just keeps on trucking. The man that doesn't have to prove anything anymore. Or does he have to prove anything left to prove to the fans? Look, you got Kenny Omega who defeated Chris Jericho in an amazing match in New Japan Wrestling at WK12. Which is like the Japanese equivalent thereof of WrestleMania, for those of you who don't watch New Japan. I, you know, sat there in amazement watching the match between Omega and Jericho, and I said to myself, my God, maybe Jericho was sent as a messenger from WWE. Maybe not. It's like, who sits and watches a New Japan match, right? Like a psychopath like myself. Here's what I've got to tell you. Right now, the world is going through a lot. Some people turn to MMA. Some people turn to boxing. But then there are the select few of us that turn to metal music, R&B, whatever your genre taste may be. I don't care. But what's the main consensus? We either turn to Ring of Honor, CZW, hell, even Wrestling Revolver, Evolve, New Japan. There we go. The place where Kenny Omega runs the joint. Literally. Okay, Naito and all them, I don't know how to say it. Naito and Okada. Okada's headbutts are so vicious, dude. It make Gallagher's headbutts look like amateurs. I don't know, though. That's kind of a bold statement. Kenny, are you really from London, England? That's badass. You have there. Okay. Yeah, I will get to the Paige subject and Tony Storm subject a little later on in the show. I've got a lot to cover, ladies and gentlemen, so I figured I might elaborate a little bit on why I think Kenny Omega may or may not be going to WWE, unless it's in print and not fake news, you know. Fake news being the dirt sheets telling you that The Rock and Ronda Rousey will team together to face Stephanie and Hunter. Oh, yeah. I've forgotten to cover some things about Ronda Rousey. I can just tell you, that whole thing of her coming in, I don't care. Whatever the company's got to do, they got a buzz going around the social medias. People are making memes, as they always do, so it doesn't really bother me. So, no, I said I was going to cover her the last time, but really, you know, she's honored to be in the company, so she's obviously she's working her ass off. Even, you know, she's got to train to possibly face Charlotte. That's not etched in stone, but come on. I understand people are upset about the builds between her and I got to get back to Omega, my friend. Omega will face more than his fair share of big names in this business. One of them in which he will face will be Cody Rhodes. Is that a shock to you all? Now, I mean, there's advertisements all over Instagram. You can check Wrestle_Radio. By the way, folks, I've been talking about a facelift in wrestling. You know, there's been a facelift, if you will, on Monday Night Raw. And I know I'm reading questions, and you guys are just, that's funny. You read my title, and I'm going in order of what I'm going to talk about. Not on purpose, by any means, stretching the imagination. But Kenny Omega has faced some pretty big names in Japan. Okay, he's a junior light heavyweight champion. He's the United, you know, he's held several championships. He's wrestled quite some time. Like I said, I pulled up the statistics on one episode to be fair to all the fans who are Omega heads. You know, when you have, I'm going to, you know what, just to be fair, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification while my techs pull up the stats, all right? All right, well, that took longer than expected, but it's okay. I've got it right in front of me. Kenny Omega is, oh, my goodness, almost 35 years old. And let's see here. Said he was the inaugural IWGP United States Heavyweight Champion, a one-time IWGP Intercontinental Champion, and a two-time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, one-time IWGP Junior Tag Team Champion, and a two-time never open weight six-man tag team champion. So this man's stats speak for itself. Let's see here. Dramatic Dream Team. So that's funny. DDT is one of the companies that he worked for. KOD champion, three-time KOD tag team champion, two-time KOD five. So the man has done it all, okay? He started wrestling in 2001, so Beck's when he was 18 years old, folks. So imagine that. I don't think anybody would start wrestling at that age, and then again, Sean Waltman, X-Pac. Go figure. I spoke too soon. I knew someone was going to ask that question. Why do you think he's not going to WWE? The man clearly stated at one point, when I'm better than most of one of your rosters, why? There's one example of people not listening whenever, you know, I tell them. Kenny Omega used to play ice hockey, that's for sure. He was in a company called Premier Championship Wrestling, so PCW from 01 to 05. Deep South Wrestling, 05 to 06. He returned to PCW, and he's still working there. So he did, at one point, go to WWE, but he was released. So understand this, folks. And now, because he's a big name, and now you've got AJ Styles, Finn Balor, the Balor Club, the Bullet Club, whatever you want to call them together, do you honestly think that Kenny Omega would join WWE? That's up to his discretion whether he's going there or not. And I think he's fine where he's at. Could be just an assessment. It could just be one of those things that people will discuss later on in their little social media circles, like on Facebook or Twitter or what have you. So 2007, 2008, and 2016, Omega has wrestled on PWS in September 7, 2007. That's the exact date that he debuted. And then, oh my goodness, 2007 to 2009, again in 2010 to 2012, Omega made his debut for Jersey All-Pro Wrestling. September 8, 2007. Let's see here. So, Ring of Honor, 08 to 2010, 2016, 2017. So, obviously, company that he stayed with is there's a lot. 2008 to 2014, dramatic dream team wrestling, which is an interesting name for a wrestling company. Omega, it said in 2006, Omega's friends showed him videos of Japanese promotion Dramatic Dream Team. This is history. Okay. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, 2008. So he's worked for a lot of companies. 2008 to 2010, 2012, 2014, and 2017. New Japan Wrestling, obviously, we all know his stint there. And Bullet Club is not an actual company, but, I mean, he's been present in there from 2014 to now. So it says Omega's first title defense took place on February 11th, the new beginning, in Osaka, where he defeated Taguchi in a rematch during the following months, but he also successfully defended the title against Mascara Dorada at Invasion Attack 2015 and Alex Shelley at Wrestling Dantaku on July 5th. It says that, let's see here, Dominion 7.5. In Osaka, or J.O. Hall, Omega lost the title to the winner of the 2015 Best of the Super Juniors, Kushida. Now I'm just reading matches and stuff, but these are his credentials. This is the man's credentials. The man's been working since he was 18. For him to go to WWE after he'd been released from them, at what point in time he was ever with WWE, it could change, folks. It could happen, or just leave it up to your imagination of what your interpretation is of Kenny Omega joining WWE. I'm not saying it can't happen, but eventually it will. And I'll touch on that more tomorrow. You got a question, Megan? Yes, the co-host about that. Not yet, and I'm not just blowing smoke out my ass. I have a lot of questions about whether this co-host is someone famous or not. And to tell you the truth, I'm not going to reveal that, because it's up to you to imagine who I have as a co-host or not, right? I assure you this gentleman has a vast wealth of knowledge about pro wrestling and then some. Now, the new hip subject to talk about is Progress Wrestling. I don't know much about that organization. I know a little bit about it. Should do my research. I know that Matt Riddle was a part of it. I follow him a lot. Some might say I fancy him. That's up to your judgment. But here it is. Okay. Progress Wrestling, is it very similar to all the other independent companies? That, I'm not sure. I'll have to take a look at one of their videos, start watching their shows, because in all honesty, I know a little bit, not a lot. All right. So tonight, there will be a second chance for the gentlemen who lost their matches in the qualifying match for the Elimination Chamber tonight on Monday Night Raw. I hope they understand, they as in the staff that sits behind the scenes, when you reject the idea, I don't care, you know, I'm so used to John Cena going over in a match, it's not even funny. It gives you the false pretense when he's in a match against somebody that has literally traveled the world and been different places more so than John Cena ever has. Who am I referring to? I'm sure Finn Balor. Finn Balor or Matt Hardy or Bray Wyatt would make a great addition in tonight's pre-qualifying match for the Elimination Chamber. The winner goes on to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 34 in Cajun Country, a.k.a. New Orleans, in the Superdome in Mercedes-Benz. So the Elimination Chamber is happening on the 25th. Cool beans, because here's what I'm going to tell you. The Elimination Chamber, the very first women's matches occurring. Then six men are facing off inside the Elimination Chamber. The winner goes on to face Brock Lesnar. But tonight, you're getting a chance to see some of the brightest talents ever to go and get their second chance. Please, for the love of Pete, for the love of all that is good and decent, it's tough to choose between three of my favorites. Well, they're not my favorites, but when I say favorites on Raw, that's very, very dry interpretation of what I really mean. What I'm talking about is they may not be my favorites, but I like watching these guys work. Like Matt Hardy, he's just with the Woken Hardy gimmick that he pulled from TNA, and then pull all of it. He just pulled tidbits of it. I love him for that. Bray Wyatt, always a mystery, always in gimmick, and trust me from experience when I got his autograph at Barclays, the man probably does that to entertain as best he can. Matt, Bray, Finn, and I forget who the fuck the fourth person maybe. Let me check the website so that I'm completely 100% sure. Okay. All right. So, looking at this site right now, according to WWE.com, it'll be Matt Hardy. Oh, here we are. Apollo Crews, Finn Balor, and Bray Wyatt. So Apollo Crews is a part of this mix? Interesting. You know, for those of you who actually listen to the show, more power to you. We love our fans in London. We love our fans in Toronto, Canada. We love our fans in Japan. Of course, India. The States, of course. Australia. You all think that Matt Hardy is going to win. I don't know who's going to win, and I don't know who to determine to go on. But I do know that Apollo Crews, that's kind of puzzling. Good talent, not terrible. It's just I hope to God that the WWE doesn't drop the ball. Yeah, you've heard those terms or that phrase before. I hope they don't drop the ball with this guy. Finn Balor, I think a lot of people will gravitate towards him. A lot of people will gravitate towards Bray. It's a very split audience nowadays in wrestling. It always has been. It's been a very interesting ride watching this. My take on the Fatal 4-Way is this. Whoever wins, I don't think it's a guarantee for that guy to go on to face Brock Lesnar, but seeing as how the Royal Rumble was a great, great show, you never know, folks. The Elimination Chamber could prove to be something decent. One can only hope. But the signs are pointing towards Finn Balor, Matt Hardy, or Bray Wyatt. If Apollo Crews wins this, my eyeballs are going to pop out of their sockets. Because you've got so many big names in there. Not that Apollo Crews' name wasn't big before he came to WWE, but I'm going to take my pick of Finn or Bray, because if Matt Hardy somehow wins by a miracle, it's not by miracle. If Apollo Crews wins by a miracle, that being Titus Worldwide is helping him do it, I don't know. But if I want to break this match down, you've got Bray Wyatt, who's got the advantage of being edgy, being unorthodox, keeping guys on their toes. You got Matt Hardy, who literally mirrors Bray Wyatt and the weirdness and eccentric behavior. And then you have Finn Balor, your high flyer and your ground and pound. So if all is good in the wrestling world, in WWE, that is, Finn Balor move on to get you know, move into this match, hopefully, you know. Then you have Elias, Cena. Actually, no, Elias, because John Cena didn't advance, surprisingly. Actually, yes, he did. So Elias, Cena, Strowman, the winner of the, let's see. My head hurts just thinking about this, because Roman Reigns is also somehow in this match, because he defeated somebody that the company keeps for a very good reason. It's because he's very good at putting others over and getting stomped on. They're not burying the guy. They're just knowing. And it's all about knowing your role, and I'm referring to Bray Wyatt. All the men involved in the Elimination Chamber match that have been confirmed, I like Elias. We all know that I have a Discord with John Cena. That's from a worker's perspective. It's not from personal. He's not all that bad, from what I understand. Trust me. I've met the guy a couple of times. Truly had to go because he had no autograph session. That's a different story for a different day. Braun Strowman. Holy crap, the dude is huge. He's like the new and improved Big Show. With a slight dash of Hogan, because of the way he talks. And my take on tonight's qualifying match for the Elimination Chamber is this. I'm okay with all four entrants into this match. I just hope that it's not some off-the-wall result that makes people go, this is why we don't tune in to Monday Night Raw. And I'm going to pause 10 seconds for identification before I go on to the whole Corey Graves, Booker T thing, because I'm going to incorporate that in a little later. So we're going to pause another 10 seconds for station identification, folks. Hang tight.
Bullet Club 4444.
If you've seen what's going on social media and other reports of what Booker T said about Corey Graves on a sports radio show, about how he's going to beat the brakes off Corey Graves, I mean, there's a few things that people may want to know about this whole entire situation. If you don't know, there's some things about it on Wrestle Radio's Facebook page, not just Wrestle Radio's Facebook page, but Cult of Kayfabe, Heel Marks Podcast, so on and so forth, have reported that Booker T has said some disparaging remarks about Corey Graves, the announcer and commentator for WWE Monday Night Raw. I find it funny, and I also find it kind of endearing. There's just some things that are better left unsaid, especially since Corey Graves has that personality, if you will. The type of personality that's very similar to Jesse the Body Ventura, who went from wrestler to commentator. It's not the same. I mean, you know, you have a general idea of what you're talking about. You, after all, stepped foot in the ring. You went and trained. Booker T has more accolades than Corey. But here's my thing. When you see a guy like Booker T, you're going to say to yourself, I don't think Corey Graves has a prayer if Corey was to throw wrestling gear on. Because Corey looks like the punk pretty boy that if I were the one to hear Corey Graves correcting me, I wouldn't care, but it's not me. Again, I don't know the entirety of the situation. I just saw what was on a computer screen, my iPad, my iPhone. And let me tell you, it's kind of ridiculous, to be quite honest. I think there's some miscommunication between Booker T and Corey Graves during the segments on Monday Night Raw. To be honest, though, some of you may have enjoyed Booker T's commentary. Some of you probably are going to turn this into a race thing about how Corey Graves is just doing the job of the man and Booker T is being held down. Well, let me tell you, your ass is something. Has nothing to do with race. When you sound like a bumbling buffoon on the air, like Booker T did most of the time, he would say something on Monday Night Raw's broadcast that would just make you go, okay, are you wishy-washy? Are you for the heel? Are you for the face? Are you commentating, trying to color commentate? But he just, Booker T was a hot mess, dude. And that's why I'm glad Corey Graves was trying to make light of the situation each time that Booker T fucked up. Okay? Booker T is a Hall of Fame inductee. And I respect the man for that. But at the same token, how many times does somebody have to fuck up and be like, okay, eventually he realized what he said was stupid. Corey Graves meant no harm by what he was saying towards Booker T. I'm just saying. I'm pretty sure that those two are going to squash whatever needs to be squashed and that Booker T may or may not return to Monday Night Raw. But it makes you wonder, folks. It does make you wonder how Raw is going to be run when Jonathan Koshin's return at least calls the action. I think that was WWE's attempt of saying, hey, we need somebody to fill the void for the time being. I think it's time. I think it's time for me to just go in depth about pretty much everything that was on the list to discuss today, folks. So, Monkeys in the Truck, hit my music. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something continuing what I was saying about Corey Graves and Booker T much later, let's dive right into who the better Brit is female-wise. Is it Toni Storm or is it the experienced veteran Paige? Not to say that Toni Storm doesn't have any expertise by all means. Other than the Mae Young Classic, I guarantee you Toni Storm has something to offer. And what's sad is, you know, let's bring back Paige, her merchandise is selling out the racks. Fans are discussing her more. She's more of a draw. She can't do anything, folks, because of her injury, and she's not giving up. She's not giving up faith because she still has a year to prove why she is the one, right? Not saying she doesn't have skill. She's obviously trained by the Knights. I'm referring to Paige, not Toni Storm. But it really bugs me that people will say, well, who's Toni Storm? What has she accomplished? There's so much you guys don't know about this young lady. And I'm going to pull up some interesting facts about her. Okay, Toni Storm is only 23 years of age. She's Australian, New Zealand, sorry, my apologies. She's much better than Paige, though, and will ever be. This girl also started at the age of 13, so there's a little similarity between her and Paige. She convinced her old mom to move to Liverpool. Yeah, I know that. World wonder. So she... She trained under a gentleman by the name of Dean Allmark. This is where she's worked, guys. Finland, France, Germany, Japan, and Spain. She also worked for a company called WWRS, which is World Wonder Ring Stardom. She won the SWA World Championship. Sorry there, I didn't cough because of her accomplishment, but she, in 2017, won the Cinderella Tournament. Storm also, let's see here. She's also in Progress Wrestling, which, again, my compadre has much more knowledge of than moi. So, Ginny and Laura DiMatteo in a three-way match in 2014, 15, and 17. So, she actually did try out for WWE in 2014, I believe. On 2017, she was a part of the Mae Young Classic. Her move is called Strong Zero. Paige's move is called the Rampage. And let me explain why I believe Toni Storm's better. Sure, Paige has personal issues. Toni Storm, does she have her personal demons? Sure. Let's focus, though, on, you know, prestige and wrestling, if fans are going to focus on that. I really, really am laughing at some of the responses that I'm getting. I didn't know where she came from until I started reading. That's true, because I've got to have facts, folks. I have to have facts in order to back up my show. In order for Wrestle Radio to get a facelift and a new structure, I'd like to read off some facts. So, in AAW, she was champion at least once. In the British Empire, BEW, she was the women's champion there as well. IPW, Australian Women's Champion, IPW, Australian Cruiserweight Champion, and also IPW, Australian Hardcore Champion. So this, let's just say this, Paige and her could go at it, you know, they could go toe-to-toe. I'm not saying they couldn't, but I prefer Toni Storm because she's way better. And it's not that Paige doesn't have charisma. It's not that she doesn't have it. She just got on a bigger scale in WWE than Toni Storm did. In Progress Wrestling, she's the current champion. She's wrestled also in Westside Extreme Wrestling, so WXW, Femmes Fatales, Women's Championship. She's current champion at World, Wonder Ring Stardom, SWA Championship. She's the five-star GP champion, Cinderella Tournament, and she also won the MVP award in 2017. So, here's the thing, folks. If I just read something off about a wrestler from Wikipedia, so be it. You know, if somebody wants to question my methods in doing things, I'll just straight out tell you. The reason why I prefer Toni Storm is because she's consistent. I've seen some of her earlier stuff on YouTube that I just watched today in that Cinderella tournament. My God. If she ends up in NXT and eventually gets to main roster, wouldn't it be a fan's wet dream if they saw Paige versus Toni Storm? I'm thinking of how fans are so used to seeing the uniform version of Paige right now with Absolution, which is the most retarded fucking gimmick ever given to anybody who deserves better. You heard me. I can't be all negative about Paige because that's just not me. I can't keep ragging on somebody without somebody, you know, something to rag on. You know, sure, she's had sex tapes and all that in her personal life. Wrestling, she's done okay. It's just the few miscommunications you can tell are a result of ring rust. And why I prefer Toni Storm over Paige is because at least Toni Storm can be consistent and she doesn't get injured as much. The injury that Paige sustained at the house show, let's just say there can be so much left to be said other than, you know, it's probably miscommunication between her and Sasha. Other than consistency and championships, what's the other reason? Oh, yes, because she can actually show up without having any controversy attached. Not yet, at least. You're not a wrestler if you never had controversy. That's true. That is very true. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't care what people think of me, just like Paige probably doesn't care that I called her out for being a homewrecker and also someone who gets multiple chances, whereas other wrestlers in her position would never even get a second look unless they built a reputation. So what's more important, building a reputation or building a certain kind of reputation? Because Toni Storm has built up a reputation of, man, this woman's athletic. She can do it. She can high fly. She can do ground and pound. Her move, Ground Zero, is amazing. I watched the entire Mae Young Classic. I binge watched it. And to tell you the truth, Toni Storm, Lacey Evans, Piper Niven, there was another wrestler in there that she kind of reminded me of. Bailey with a touch of Finn Balor. I don't recall who she was, but she was a really good worker. But when it comes to actual female workers that actually put forth effort, Toni Storm, Ivory, who's just the latest inductee into the Hall of Fame. Congratulations. You're awesome. Jacqueline. I'll say it. I'll say her name. China. Trish Stratus. Lita. They all put forth an effort to work. Natalya. Naomi. Becky Lynch. Medusa. All those names wrapped into one. Oh, Sherry Martel. Put forth effort and they work hard. Paige, she probably, you know, she didn't intentionally get injured and say, hey, I want my shoulder to fall out of socket. That's not how a worker works, trust me. But if you have to ask me in all actuality of who I believe can actually stand on her own two feet and produce or procure a good match for the fans to see, Toni Storm is a great example. If you haven't seen any of her work, you need to sit down in the network and actually watch the Mae Young Classic. And not just watch Progress Wrestling as well. I mean, this girl started working at 13 years old. 13. I know Paige was 14, 15, and she wrestled in, you know, School of Knights. That's not the name of the school. Sierra Knight, who trains troubled youth and all that good jazz to wrestle, to work, and to be better than they are. See, I don't have any issues with Paige's family. I just have an issue with what was the personal life. And now I've decided to say this. I prefer Toni Storm over Paige because, to be quite frank, even if she does come back after a year, there'll be somebody knocks somebody off their perch after being out for a full year. That's the extent of Paige's injury. Ring rust, whatever you want to call it, you can't pinpoint it, but it's part of it. Moving on. So the whole Corey Graves, Booker T incident, there's actual audio clip of Booker T saying, if I see Corey Graves and catch him in a dark alley, I'll beat the brakes off of him. That was said by him. And Corey Graves was shown earlier in the year defending Booker T because somebody said something along the lines of, you gave me the stink eye, you look like the type of person to give me the perfect stink eye. Like, how do you respond to that? Like, I think some of the things that are said to Booker T, he gets pissed off easy, some might say. Like, yeah, I don't know Booker T. He don't know me. But, dude, I love you as a worker, as a commentator, not a fan. I would prefer Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler is probably one of the commentators that I like back in the day when he could be himself, you know, be the heel, be for the heels and, you know, cheer for him and rev the crowd up by being himself. Just like how Corey Graves, you know, when fans reacted to him shaking Big Cass's hand, we knew it was Big Cass. We knew. I know I'm just reading some of the Instagram questions, folks. Wrestle_radio. Send your questions in to me through there or BTrain05000. So here's what I got to tell you about the whole situation. It was saying on Corey Graves' Twitter, it's saying, you know, Booker T said, we need to talk, and Corey Graves' response to that whole situation was, you have my number, call me anytime. So it's probably going to get squashed. It's probably, my God, 30 tweets in the last hour. Jeez Louises. So, oh, goodness. Okay, so Booker T clears the air with Corey Graves. I'm going to have to listen to that. Basically, I think, folks, if you want to hear it, you can go to YouTube. And it has, oh, it's a heated conversation. Yikes. Oh, my goodness. Well, people are misinterpreting the whole situation. What I believe is that Corey Graves was basically trying to do, his persona was to be the asshole. And that's how Corey Graves is personified, as the guy that sits and does an interview, surprisingly, with Enzo Amore, also does his best to keep it professional. That's why he still has a job. That is why Booker T was asked to leave, because Booker T was going to say something stupid. Has nothing to do with race. You've been blocked, sir. Thank you very much for playing the game of trying to piss B-Train off. I'm sorry. When someone sends in a rhetorical question and then makes a statement afterwards saying, you just like to side with Corey Graves because you may have a crush on him. Now, you know what? Corey Graves is a pretty good-looking dude with a bouffant do. Not even a bouffant do, but here's the thing, folks. If you haven't already figured it out, you can check my Facebook page. Okay? Corey Graves, Booker T. The whole conflict between these two happened because why? Booker T will say something on Raw that's outlandish that my friend and I will be sitting there. We'll wake up in the middle of our slumber from watching 3-hour train wreck that sometimes is Monday Night Raw. It's gotten better. It has gotten better. But the fact still remains. You can't fix a broken commentator. You can't. Booker T was just god awful. He could not announce. He tried. He tried to work within the system. It just, when you have Corey Graves who's just poking fun at you, and he's just trying to make light of the situation. Sometimes those two did have laughs together on the announce table on Monday Night Raw. But you cannot fix what is broken. You just can't. Watch Monday Night Raw. If Jonathan Coachman stays, he stays. Now that he's no longer, you know, trying to make it air apparent that he's a part of ESPN, I think that's a little, I don't know. I don't like Coachman at all. I'd rather have JR come back, to be honest with you, when someone said the words, I like Michael Cole. get the fuck out my face, is what some of you may say. So if someone likes Michael Cole, they like Michael Cole. If you like announcers who don't know move names and doesn't know the background of the wrestler until they're handed a sheet the very next day, as if, you know, I'm a broadcast journalist. I have to reiterate my knowledge for Kenny Omega because it's not in my head all the time. And I have a lot to report. Michael Cole, what is your excuse? You've been in this business for 21 years. Actually, make that 22. You started out as an intern doing whatever someone told you to do. You're very smart about it. I'm not going to go into detail about every announcer, but folks, if I need to, I can reference this. JR does not have any issue with Michael Cole taking over as being known as the voice of Raw, but I'll tell you something right now. Nigel McGuinness and Mauro Ranallo on NXT, they can run circles around Michael Cole when it comes to commentating and actually delivering to the audience what needs to be delivered, and that is if they're doing a butterfly suplex or double arm underhook or coup de grace or power slam or body slam or something basic, non-basic, move name two, please, for the love of Christ, come up with a move name and let it stick. Instead of saying, and he slams him to the mat, you're not on 2K19, dude. This is live broadcasting. And back to the whole subject at hand with Booker T and Corey Graves. Corey Graves, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with him and Booker T. I'm pretty sure that they, when I listen to it after I get off air here, that they made amends, or maybe not. But I do know this, Booker T's butchering of the English language was pretty bad. If you're a broadcast journalist and you sit your ass at an announce table, please have the common decency to sit there. And if you don't have anything to add, wait till the other announcer goes. Booker T would add so much shit, dude. He's a nice guy. What I'm saying by add so much shit, some people were so confused by listening to his banter while he was on air. It's not that he was a bad employee. That's not the problem, folks. Corey Graves single-handedly saved Booker T's career. Do you know why? There are a couple of times Booker T looks so angry, so upset. He's old school. He's extremely old school about how things are to be presented, how they're supposed to be commentated about, and how they're supposed to be announced. Well, you know what? In this day of wrestling, Booker T would not pass on any level. And they say, create a new skill set by the time you get to being an announcer or being behind the scenes. I think Booker T would have been better suited for a behind-the-scenes effect. Why do I say this? Because every time I saw that he was announcing, I'd be like, oh, cool, you know. He's got a cool interest scene. He can break dance. He was one of the best. He's one of my favorite wrestlers back in the day in WCW. Not just with Harlem Heat, but when he was in WCW. I have to say, you know, when he transitioned to the announce table, some people really who don't know all the jargon of how wrestling commentating teams should work, you guys sat there and said, Michael Cole was a good announcer and so was Booker T, but you don't know about Corey Graves. Without Corey Graves, my friend and I would not be sitting awake. With Booker T, that kind of just, he just said some stuff that made you had to laugh. Because it was like so off the wall. Can I give an example? Jason Jordan is what's wrong with the world. He's not too far off about that. But at the same token, he would say stuff and keep going with what he was saying because he wanted to make his point, while Corey Graves tried to intervene and say, no, this is how things are. And Corey Graves' banter, he's supposed to be the guy that corrects you if you leave yourself wide open. For correcting, that is. Can we really fault Corey Graves for just stepping in and doing his job? I mean, look, some of you may disagree with what I'm saying. Some of you who just decided to message me because you felt the need to be ever so present when it came to being a racist, you said to me, well, how come other people get to say stuff? Because other people are not stupid. Okay? Plain and simple. If you act like a moron and add race into this discussion, Corey Graves is not racist by any means of the imagination. Okay? And it just so happens that people who misconstrue what Corey Graves tries to do on Raw, which is give it life, give it flavor, because God only knows how many times my friend has fallen asleep while watching the show. And not only that, so much wrong with what Booker T would say. And you go on tangent or like a 2.5 minute rant while the broadcasters were trying to call the action and Michael Cole was trying to drag Booker T back to society, you know, back to reality, I mean, and say, okay, this is what's going on in the ring. Please focus. Please be aware of what's going on in the ring. Booker T would still keep going, and there's one of the problems. When you undermine a fellow announcer, what he's doing, you know, instead of acknowledging what's going on around you, there's going to be problems. And by problems, I'm going to say it, if you don't know how things are supposed to operate as a commentator, it goes something like this. You're supposed to have the guy who is the analyst, that'd be Michael Cole. The color heel is supposed to be Corey Graves. Booker T, I don't know why they have a third announcer, because that's just fucking stupid. The concept behind three announcers, I kind of understand you want to go through normal feel to it so people can have a third perception while they're announcing. But if, okay, someone said it best. Picture if you were blind and you couldn't see. And you need an announcer to announce the moves in the ring and the action going on outside the ring. So that way you have... Sorry, folks, for the delay. To have minds of its own. Anyways... You have to have an announcer with Corey Graves' personality, because otherwise it's going to drive people insane if you just have announcers who are for the baby faces and an announcer like JBL, who was very wishy-washy, who would commentate as the heel color but then go right back to being the baby face announcer. People were confused. So it's not just announcing style, it's how you carry yourself. See? My technology agrees with me. See? I don't know why it's doing that self to itself. It's testing itself. Anyhow, I smacked my tech in the back of the head. What are you doing? I didn't say bring in my tablet. Okay. Anyways, I figure the best thing for me to tell you guys about the situation is it's how you carry yourself. It's how you direct what you are projecting to the fans so that they have an idea on what you're doing. Otherwise, they're just going to be completely clueless. Which is why Booker T, you know, I feel bad for the guy. But at the same token, I just don't know sometimes what he would be saying. And it's like, you're in a trance because did Booker T really just say what he just said? Some of the things, he's not a good announcer. I know he's a good worker. I know this because I saw the man wrestle when I was a kid. I'm just disappointed that Booker T just had to pull out what he had to pull out, okay? It's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate, really, to be honest with you. He almost got fired. That's what they won't tell you. He almost got fired. For the simple reasoning that you can see on the dirt sheets that are producing articles about the whole incident. These are the same dirt sheets that I wouldn't trust with one hand tied behind my back. Because they'll tell you, we're favoring style for Booker T and favoring of Booker T, and then one will favor Corey Graves. And this one, guys, I'm going to tell you straight out. If you heard what Booker T said on the audio clips, you can find on Wrestle Radio and also on YouTube, then here's what I'm going to tell you. Them making up on the audio clip for that for that idiot to stay on Corey's Twitter, it's a work. I don't think so. Because look. Booker T clears up the air of Corey Graves. My God. I don't know whether to laugh or to cry. I've said that many a times about certain issues, and this one isn't as bad as me laughing at the whole Enzo situation. I shouldn't laugh when someone's down, but to be honest with you, the next discussion that I'm going to have is supposedly the person who committed all these gave all these accusations about Eric Arndt, or a.k.a. Eric Anthony. Supposedly she's a liar and she's crazy, which is not too far off because she keeps changing, which makes the police believe there's something wrong with this situation. That's all you're going to hear from me about the Enzo situation. I'd like to dive, no pun intended, back onto the whole Corey Graves, Booker T situations. I mean, not only is this getting social media coverage, it's getting national attention too, because you're looking at the WWE, a publicly traded company with over 700 employees. The one consistency that has been in their company for the longest time now is Corey Graves. He's been announcing Raw. He's the workhorse now announcing SmackDown Live. If he did have a pulse and anything left, he'd be still in NXT, announcing with Mauro Ranallo and also Nigel McGuinness. Percy took over Corey Graves' spot. I'm not a big fan. Percy just, it's obvious who he, you know, who he likes, who he would say has potential. And announcers actually do have a good say as to which talent should be worked up and what shouldn't. They don't, however, have the say of who works the promos, who does all that. But Corey Graves versus Booker T in a commentating battle, I guarantee you Booker T would lose. Here's why. You put Corey Graves in a healthy Corey Graves versus Booker T. I don't know who would come out on top, but Corey Graves, if he did ever go over, would probably have to win dirty. Because Booker T could wrestle circles around Corey Graves. He's not a failed wrestler. He just got an unfortunate break. Okay? And when that happens to you, not making an excuse for Mr. Graves, but my take on the conflict between Graves and Booker T, it all depends on who you like and who you don't. Because there's going to be people that say, well, Corey Graves was just egging him on, you know. They didn't really have a snowball's chance in hell to work as a pair. I mean, granted, if you sandwich Michael Cole in between that team, it's ridiculous. Even Michael Cole was trying to get Booker T to get back on point. They had to literally make corrections every single broadcast, and that's not what Triple H or Vince's vision or Michael Hayes wanted out of the whole thing. Okay? When you have a combustible elements on a show on Monday Night Raw, you're going to be saying to yourself, okay, maybe I should have seen this coming, because Corey, when he would correct Booker T, you notice there's some irritation in Booker T's vocals. And Booker T's responses were just through gritted teeth. I firmly believe that if you have a successful announce team, you'd have a great show. Unfortunately for Monday Night Raw, you're always going to be saddled with Michael Cole. You won't have that line of success. Okay? My personal opinion is Michael Cole's trying to carry on the legacy of Jim Ross. Jim Ross probably doesn't care because he worked there for a long-ass time, guys. 15 years in WWE, but he also has some major experience in NWA, AWA, WCW, amongst the other territories in Tennessee and Kentucky. Booker T, when he came, I don't know if it was to replace what was lost on Monday Night Raw, because Raw's never been the same without JR and King. Just saying. I'm sure those two had some personal words as well, but if you want to go down the list of problems that Booker T caused on Monday Night Raw, it was for himself, was one. Being snappy with Corey Graves after Corey corrected Booker T on certain aspects and angles, Booker T was very slow responding. Corey Graves, on the other hand, quick-witted, educated, sounds very smooth on the announce mic. You kind of have to be when you announce a show that is 3 hours long, plus commercials. So you're literally sitting there down, minus the downtime that you have in between commercials, to sit there and say, hey, what's going on? What am I doing wrong? I'm sure Corey Graves is like, I'm sorry you feel that way. And he's even had to break character to explain shit to Byron Saxton. Seriously, guys, if you're that fucking clueless about who can sit at an announce table, it's nothing to do with creative. It's a personnel decision. You called Jonathan Coachman? Why? Because JR didn't dive at the first fucking offer? I'm just saying, because of Booker T's absence, because of what went on during Monday Night Raw, you can hear it. You can hear the discord between Graves and Booker T. It's not air apparent. It's not, ooh, that one went over my head. Like, if they would have just swept this under the rug, I'm pretty sure people would have been like, something's up. The conflicts in WWE are now becoming like headliners. Like, this is why so-and-so didn't show up to the show because they were drunk. Or this is why Paige was not invited back. She got fired for failing a wellness test. Or I don't think there's any bad blood between Carmella and Nikki Bella. Nikki Bella did kind of potato Carmella really bad. But I'm just saying, the internal conflicts like this one, for example, which is current, Booker T and Corey Graves, it's one of those, okay, so you kind of have to report it as a broadcast journalist. I love Booker T as a wrestler. He's a great worker. As a commentator, I've said this a million times. I've repeated it. As a commentator, it's a no-go. I wouldn't even have put him there. Whoever's decision it was to put Booker T at the announce table, great. Do y'all know what it's like listening to him? on a headset for 3 hours for 4 months straight. I mean, not to say this, that Coach is any better. He's a little better, but my God, the umpteen time that he mentions ESPN as a plug as to why he left the world of sports and entertainment. Again, Michael Cole may be a terrible announcer and he forgets move names from time to time, but he at least pulls people back to where they need to be. So in other words, you've got Corey Graves, who is the color heel announcer, who is basically there to commentate for the – there needs to be somebody that needs to do that because it's so cookie cutter on Monday Night Raw. SmackDown Live, I hope to God, does not turn that direction because if it does, that means they are no longer the underappreciated show. It means they conformed. They've got Tom Phillips over on SmackDown Live, Byron Saxton, and Corey Graves. That is the announced team that I would love for Monday Night Raw. Then again, I'm not the board of directors. I'm not Pat Patterson. I'm not Michael Hayes. I sure as hell am not, you know, Road Dogg or Jamie Noble or Joey Mercury or Triple H. I don't make those decisions. I'm just a fan that points out shit that needs to be pointed out. And that is, Corey Graves and Booker T, are they acting like children? I don't know, because there's been worse incidents in WWE. Thank God there wasn't social media back in the day to report all this TMZ-like crap. But for those of you wanting to know why I side with Corey Graves is because Booker T makes no sense when he talks. Now, if you were to put him back in the wrestling ring, make him a trainer. Make him a trainer. I know he has his school in Houston. I know that he is doing his best to make amends with Corey Graves, so they say. And I've got to take a listen to that audio. Hang on. I'm going to pause 10 seconds for station identification, folks. Again. Well, while I have you on the line, let's see here. You know what? I can check this. Watch this. As I'm pulling this up, I'm going to listen to it because it's been driving me nuts. Heated conversation. Well, from the very first snippets of that, sounds like Booker T and Corey Graves made amends on the Booker T show Heated. So, yeah, I still stand by what I say. I'm not going to dispute that. I'm not going to just refute everything I just said, but it's kind of true. It is not kind of true. It's very true. Booker T said, according to this thing, let me see here. Let me see here on Twitter. Yeah. He's saying Booker T had on his show called Heated Conversations. So check that out on Twitter, folks, on Corey Graves' Twitter. Booker T's show Heated Conversations with Corey Graves as his special guest. That's pretty badass. For those of you who don't have Twitter, shame, shame, shame. I'm driving some Dak Draper fans really mad. Yeah, because I didn't say shame on you. Well, here's the thing, guys. In conclusion, about the whole Booker T, Corey Graves thing, it's not a work if Booker T calls Corey Graves from his own show to apologize. I still stand by what I say about Booker T. Not a good announcer, great wrestler, Corey Graves, he's not a failed wrestler. He just has, you know, the complexity of having to announce in a line of work that he wishes he could be on right now. Because by this time, Corey Graves should have been in Elias Sampson's position or better than that. He could have been an Intercontinental champion. You never know. But what happened was there's some probably miscommunications between Booker and Corey. I've got to listen to the rest of this episode or else it's going to drive me nuts. But the co-host of the show, and I'm going off topic, the co-host of this show is probably going to be a little bit different than I. Okay? And I am going to redesign, rebuild, and structure Wrestle Radio completely different. It's going to take time. It's not going to be, you know, a one-day process. I've actually, you know, going to contact some graphic designers from this co-host, and I'm going to design T-shirts and do other things that get us out there better than where we are. As far as I'm concerned, folks, today's Monday episode of Wrestle Radio is brought to you by these advertisements. For those of you wanting to sign up for the WWE Network, you can get Fastlane and possibly, well, you will get Elimination Chamber for free, but you can also get WrestleMania and you can get SummerSlam and much, much more with a preloaded WWE shopping cart. There's $24.97 total. You can get those on WWE Shop itself. You can also get gift cards on WWE.com. You must have a valid username and password. Your username must be your email address. Your password must be containing an uppercase and lowercase letter with some special symbols or numbers. For those of you who don't have a clue on what I'm saying, WWE.com, go to network, username, password. You can get the network and watch more than just pay-per-views. You can watch PWG, Ring of Honor, CZW, Evolve. You can also watch some Progress Wrestling, I believe. Oh, and you can also watch as many WrestleManias as you want. You can watch as many Ric Flair matches as you want, Tully Blanchard, J.J. Dillon, the Four Horsemen, you name it. You can watch old, old matches with Dusty Rhodes. You can watch Tracy Smothers, if that guy floats your boat. The WWE Network, only $9.99 a month. They will pull out $10.99 your first month if you are paying with a valid debit or credit card. For those of you wanting deals on the shop, they're 30% off for the next 2 days on all WWE shop items. Go to FlowSlam.com. Watch old matches with Johnny Moxley, Matthew Riddle, Keith Lee, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, and more. That's FlowSlam.com. Go find Monster Factory Network on the Fight Network. Also not the Fight Network, but Monster Factory Network for $7.99 on MonsterFactory.org. Speaking of Monster Factory, you can visit the camp on the 20th and 21st of April. That's MonsterFactory.org. Be sure to get your ticket to learning a lot. The 20th and 21st. Contact Danny Cage. His phone number is on MonsterFactory.org. You can email him a question about the camp, what have you. So, if you have any questions, contact Danny Cage. His phone number is on Instagram. It's on the school site for not just the camp but the tuition. Danny Cage, he will tell you. So that's that. Speaking of wrestling schools, you can attend one in Iowa, Brave for Black, or you can attend wrestling school in Kansas City at NWL TPC, located in North Kansas City, Missouri. For more information, visit NWLLeague.com. And contact the person to make your dream come true for the NWL TPC that is located in North Kansas City, Missouri. All of us have smartphones and apps. For more directions or information, you can check on your tablet, smartphone, iPad, computer, desktop, whatever, NWLLeague.com. For the latest in indie wrestling, go to GWF. You can catch Lainey Luck, the Suplex Cyclone. Kurt Gannon goes one-on-one with Mr. Brandon Aaron's the current GWF champion. It is the main event, folks. Catch it at the Harry S. Truman Armory. Tickets are on Eventbrite.com. General admission is $17.64. To print off your ticket from Eventbrite, go to Have the App, print it, click it, or click it, print it. Ooh, yeah. All right, folks. So, 7 minutes left. What do I got left to talk to you about? Oh, yes. For those of you wanting to kick cancer square in the ass, visit two websites. Cure for Connor, which is Cure for Connor was a site dedicated for children who had pediatric cancer. For those of you wishing to donate your time, money, and adulation, SusanGComan.org, do the walks, do the jogs, donate your money for the research to help finding the cure for cancer. Also, for those of you wanting to make a child's wish come true, go to MakeAWish.com. That's MakeAWish.com. For those of you wanting to go to WrestleMania 34, there are still seats available. If you're lucky, try Ticketmaster, SeatGeek, TickPick, whatever you want. NXT is probably sold out, ladies and gentlemen. I do apologize for that information. NXT SummerSlam is also, you know, on its way. NXT tickets are, have been sold out for Ticketmaster. I'm pretty sure that's going to change. It is tax season, so spend your money wisely, folks. I'm going to enjoy the rest of this nice day, night, whatever. And if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I am Brian Rails from Wrestle Radio, and I got three choice words for you. Get about it. Oh, yeah. One more thing. One more sentiment. Toodles, bitches. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something I would be. Wait. I don't think I got the proper send-off because here's what I'm going to say. For those of you wanting to tune in, my show goes something like this. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Short period of time for myself to vent, but now I've got help in doing so. So, the co-host, won't know his name just yet, or her name. You don't know who I've casted. And I'm ever so glad to tell you, my name is B-Train from Wrestle Radio. And if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. And one last sentiment. Toodles, bitches. The cost was something I would be. I know your anger, I know your dream. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cost of something I would be. Like Mussolini and Kennedy, I'm the cost of something I would be. The cult of personality.